Right here in Geneva, Switzerland, we witnessed a solar eclipse this past week. It's kind of a big deal. I know only 93% of the sun was covered. It wasn't a total eclipse here. But still, this isn't an every day or every year sort of occurrence. Somehow it snuck up on me, though. With summer vacation and all the other headlines crowding the news, I didn't really realize this eclipse was coming. It took place Wednesday evening, and I only learned about it on Monday. And I thought to myself, huh, I wonder where I can get some of those cardboard glasses you always see people wearing during an eclipse. Now, maybe some of you were way more on top of this than I was, but clearly a lot of other people in Geneva also decided right about Monday to go looking for eclipse glasses. And let me tell you, they were nowhere to be found. Online forums were full of exchanges about what eyeglass store or pharmacy still had 10 left in stock, and within minutes there were replies harumphing that they were all gone. I ducked into a pharmacy and only got as far as, "Excuse me, you don't by any chance have any," before the pharmacist finished my sentence. "Glasses? No." Seemed I was not her first request of the day. Jesus says it's not what goes into us that defiles, but rather the evil intentions of the heart. And there's nothing to reveal those evil intentions like a moment where everybody wants the same thing, and that thing happens to be in short supply. Things can get ugly. I didn't murder or steal from anyone in search for my eclipse glasses. But none of the above, right? Yeah, none of the above. But I certainly didn't think particularly charitable thoughts toward all those others out looking for the same thing that I was, or the ones who were hawking them online for elevated prices. In a moment like that, the world starts to look like a place of ruthless competition, and neighbors next to you in the pharmacy start to look like rivals. It's amazing what an experience of scarcity can do. A couple of weeks ago in worship, we heard a story of Jesus turning a situation of acute scarcity into one of surprising abundance. Crowds had descended on Jesus when he was looking for some peace and quiet. He had compassion for that group of people in need of healing and hope, and he spent the day curing their sick. When evening drew near, the disciples saw a clear problem. Thousands of people and not a grocery store in sight, and they told Jesus to send them home so they didn't end up with this hangry mob on their hands. It's what any of us would have said in that situation, too, I imagine. 5 loaves and 2 fish are not much when it comes to a crowd. Things could get ugly. And yet in Jesus' presence, there was more than enough that evening. Somehow everyone ate. Somehow everyone was filled, and somehow there were leftovers to gather up at the end. It's how Jesus tended to see things all the time. Where others saw a lack, he saw possibility. Where others saw too little, he saw plenty to share. He turned the common view that we are all competing for limited resources on its head, again and again. It's who he was. It's what he did. Until one day he didn't. Until one day he too spoke like there wasn't enough to go around. In our gospel reading today, Jesus and the disciples are in Tyre and Sidon, a non-Jewish area beyond the familiar towns of Galilee. And a woman from that region calls out loudly to him on the road, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Jesus faced people in similar situations all the time. They flocked to him everywhere he went. And so far in the gospel, he's never been too tired or too busy or too distracted to help somebody in need. He's this bottomless well of compassion, always ready to listen, to care, to heal. So, of course, we expect he's going to do that here with this desperate mother now pleading for her child, that he'll divert from whatever he was doing and wherever he was going and head off to her home. That's what he always does, except not here. This woman cries out, and he responds with silence. The disciples suggest sending her away, just like they told Jesus to send all the hungry people by the lakeshore away not so long ago. those they didn't know what to do with. Jesus doesn't do that just yet, but he does voice his mind. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he says. I was sent for people from my tradition, from my community, from my background. She's not part of it, so she's not my concern. It is a troubling scene. And I think we could very well understand the woman giving up at this point. This group of foreign men traveling through her home territory have treated her with nothing but contempt. But remarkably, she persists. Matthias drew the image that's on the cover of your bulletin this morning, and I invite you to take that out. He did this especially for today, and I love the determination that you can see on the woman's face here. She's clearly a person of great bravery and strength. And as this group around her seems ready to move on, she finally throws herself at Jesus' feet and offers up the simple, desperate plea that perhaps many of us have also used when everything else has failed us. Lord, help me. And surely Jesus will respond now. Surely he will help this person who's so sincere, so clearly in need. But no, it only gets worse. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, he says. He looks at this woman kneeling before him with her heart on her sleeve, and he calls her a dog, which, in case you're wondering, wasn't any nicer thing to say in first century Palestine than it is today. This is seriously uncomfortable territory. Jesus' words are rude and demeaning, and they also reveal something about the way that he apparently sees his ministry at this point in time. It's not fair to take the children's food and give it to the dogs implies that there's a finite quantity on the table. That if I heal you, a person who's outside my community and my tradition, then there won't be enough for others. Healing, grace, mercy are goods in limited supply here. We can't just go on giving them out every which way. It sounds strange coming from Jesus' mouth in particular, coming from this one who always saw possibility, who always saw abundance. But here it is, this moment when Jesus himself seems to have come up against a perceived limit, when even he believed there wasn't enough for everyone. That's how Jesus saw it seems, but not the woman. She's convinced that there is, in fact, enough, that the love and power of God present in Jesus can do more than even he recognizes. Yes, Lord, she says, in response to his words about it not being fair to take the children's food, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. There's more than you think, Jesus. There's grace enough for your people and for mine. There's grace enough for my daughter. You know that it's true. It's breathtaking, isn't it? It's one of the truly amazing stories in the Gospels, giving voice to this foreign woman who challenged Jesus and won, who saw abundance that even he couldn't see, who grasped a wideness to God's mercy beyond what anyone had yet imagined, who taught Jesus something vital about his own mission. It's this amazing story, but it's definitely not the most flattering picture of Jesus in the Bible. I mean, the gospel writers could have just left this one out, right? In the interest of presenting Jesus as never flagging in compassion, as never needing to learn or grow. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include it. I think that really means something. Because, you know, if Jesus himself needed to keep learning the breadth of God's mercy, then it only makes sense that we would need to keep learning it too, probably again and again. The grace of God is not a limited resource. There's more than enough to go around, to embrace each and every person, those like us and those different from us, those we love easily and those we struggle to love. No one stands beyond it, and the supply is never diminished. It's a lesson we need to learn. And we might start right here, at the font where mercy flows without limit, at the table where all are fed and there are leftovers to be gathered up. Worship is a great place to be formed and renewed week after week. We might start right here, but like Jesus, we also need voices beyond ourselves, voices challenging us and showing us where our imagination is too small, voices of women who've long been pushed to the sidelines, and youth who can glimpse new horizons, and persons of other faiths with wisdom to share. Those voices, too often ignored, can be gifts of God, teaching us how far love goes. Great is your faith, Jesus says to the woman who would not give up on the wideness of God's mercy. Great is the faith of those who persist in showing that God's grace is not a limited resource. Great is the faith of those who show us a way beyond rivalry and competition and exclusion. Great is the faith of those who show us once again that in the abundance of God's love, there's always more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.